Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, All-Ireland champions, Limerick ladies footballers in the junior grade. Any year that you get two All-Ireland titles in a county is a special year. But, you know, I had my, I won't say reservations, but I was just, you know, this is a Louth team that beat Limerick twice this year. I know there was kind of, Limerick felt that they didn't do themselves justice in both games. But having said that, you know, the bookies also had Louth tipped as strong favourites in this one, but and I did just worry for Limerick if they didn't start well. Now, it was a quiet opening 10 minutes. I think Limerick dropped plenty players behind the ball to snaffle or to snuff out any Louth chances. Louth seemed to have a lot of possession, didn't do anything with it. Limerick broke, and when they got that first goal, they never looked back. And I think even when Limerick got that first goal, they got that air of confidence into themselves, and it was like a role reversals tactically. Then Limerick were the team with 13 players in the opposition half, and Louth were defending, and Limerick just ran at them and caused them all sorts of problems.
Correct. I wasn't terribly surprised, as we discussed last week. I thought Limerick were in here with a real chance, because when Limerick played Louth in the league and in the league semi-final, Raphael, they were really a work in progress at that stage. John Ryan and his management team were getting to know their players, and the squad has been strengthened considerably since. And they received a major boost, as we discussed, coming into the championship with the return of Rebecca Delia, Martina Giltinan, and Dimitna O'Brien. Like, to get that sort of experience and firepower back at a crucial stage of the team of this season, you were bound to drive on. Now, the one thing I thought that might drive Louth to, was the unfortunate death of Micheál Mickeon, their manager, unexpected death in the first week in June, and that they had to change managers and all that sort of thing. And but it just didn't happen. Now, you're right, Limerick were slow in the first 10 minutes. There was no question about it. They were of course trying to get accustomed to Croke Park, as John Ryan explained to us afterwards. During that time, you will recall that we got a couple of quick frees, or we got a couple of tossing frees, I think two of them, which we opted to pass rather than go for goal. I was surprised at that, but you're right. Once Limerick got the first goal, It changed the whole dynamic of the game, and from Limerick being behind the ball, Louth were behind the ball. But before Limerick even got the first goal, Louth were funneling back in numbers. Time and time again, Mal Keaveney and I in commentary, we observed that there was possibly only two Louth players in the Limerick half at any given time. So that would give you an idea of the way they funneled back. And we actually remarked when the first goal, Mairead Kavanagh's first goal, went in, that Louth would have to come out now and start taking the game to Limerick. You will recall they didn't come out at all in the first half. At all. And like, Limerick went on and got two more very good goals. Like, you would have to say that the execution of the Limerick goals were excellent. Because, like, Kavanagh's first goal was well taken. It was a testimony to perseverance. Rebecca Delis, what a goal, the second goal. And then you had the third goal, a pinpoint delivery from Katrina Davis, which Mairead Kavanagh got on the end of it and flicked past Una Pearson in the Louth goal. Likewise, in the second half, the two goals, when Louth had chipped 3 points off the lead, Cleaning the Kelly, Her first two attempts failed. She kept going, and at the third attempt, she put it in the net. And then you had that screamer of a goal from Rebecca De Lee when it was game, set and match.
Yeah, you certainly did, Matt. And I suppose you have to remember that in that opening 10 minutes as well, that, you know, Limerick had some poor wides. And I was just, I had that bit of a concern that, you know, these wides could, they were the kind of wides that could easily drain confidence, if you know what I mean. There were poor shot selection, dropping the ball short into the keeper's hands. You know, I think there was a few frees missed. And you're thinking, oh, look, we need something to settle themselves here. And that goal really seemed to be the fillip that they needed to kind of just steady the ship.
Yeah, you must remember we didn't score for 15 minutes. And like you will recall also when we put it to John Ryan after, he attributed it immediately to nerves, which was probably the case, because the shot selection in a couple of instances, as you have said, was poor, and the shooting was poor. We had four or five early wides, which could on another day have come back to haunt us. But there was one excellent score that might have missed the radar a small bit if you reflect back on it, Raphael. We were winning. Mairead Kavanagh had got her first goal, and a couple of minutes later she came out on the right flank in front of actually where we were practically, and you remember she kicked in a fantastic point from the right side, which put us four clear. That was an excellent score, and that score, as much as the goal was as nearly as much as a fillip to Limerick at that point, in that despite not having played well, you could say, for the first, what was it, about 18 or 19 minutes at that stage, here we were, 4 points up. Lout had been restricted to a single score from a free. And, of course, then the goals followed.
Yeah, they certainly did. And I thought, though, that, you know, when Limerick kind of imposed their will on Louth, they looked as if they had an extra player or two. The running, the movement, there was always a player available for the ball or showing for the ball. And the player in position was always willing to offload the ball to somebody in a better position. It was a real team performance, and there was some selfless performances in amongst that team.
Absolutely. And take, for instance, Niamh Ryan. Niamh Ryan was named at centre-half-back on the Hogan Stand Team of the Week. Now, that was some performance by Niamh. Now, I thought she was absolutely excellent in Croke Park on Sunday, and she anchored that defence, and certainly it was her best game since she came, since she joined up with the football panel, and what a day to produce a top performance like that. And you must remember that she got that nod for the Team of the Week against the cream of Dublin, Cork, Tyrone and Meath. And then she had the two wing backs at each side of her, Anya McGrath and Cathy Mee, who were driving forward and causing Louth all sorts of problems. And I suppose that in many ways, the way the Limerick half back line played and the way the wing backs pressed forward, it put Louth on the hind foot, and I suppose it tempted them into the defensive strategy. Like they actually tried to crowd out Limerick. And at no stage, I thought, in the first half in particular, when the first goal went in, I thought, here goes now, we're going to get a response from Louth, they're going to press forward. And the second goal and the third goal, and it was still the same strategy, and they ended up with 1 point from play, or 1 point from a free by half time. And really, Limerick were out the gate at half time.
They were, Matt, you know, and they really had the game secured at half time. But having said that, Louth came back in the second half, pulled it back. They got the first 3 points in the second half. But I think, you know, if you were looking for a microcosm of Limerick's dominance during that whole game, it was the response to Louth's 3 points, where Limerick just marched up the field and got back-to-back goals. It put the game to bed within 10 minutes of the restart, you know. And it was it that really reinforced Limerick's dominance. And, you know, from there on in, there was only one winner.
That's all. And the two well-taken goals, as I said already, Clean and Nicalig's goal was a result of sheer perseverance and showed, I suppose, the attitude of this Limerick team, never to give up. And then, of course, what a great goal that Rebecca De Lee got. And I said it to her even the other night, I think it still pales with the goal that she got against Carlo. But here is a girl that came into the team, has played 3 matches, and has scored 6-5 from play. Like, if you get that type of firepower and the run into an All-Ireland, is it any wonder Limerick are champions?
Yeah.
Not to mention the contribution of Demdne O'Brien. Demdne only made a cameo appearance at the end and notched up 2 scores. The second score, any male footballer would be proud of. It was an excellent score.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I suppose if you were John Ryan, probably looking into that match during the week, you'd have been thinking, I might be sending Demdne on here in a close game to get a few vital scores to edge us in front or to tip the balance in our favour. But, you know, he had the luxury of bringing her on in a situation where Limerick were off in a gallop, really, and Louth were trailing behind.
Yeah, I was wondering as early as 10 minutes when we had those few wides, when we were pressing forward and getting nowhere and hadn't a score on the board, I was wondering, would John Ryan be tempted even at that early stage to bring her into the game? But he wasn't. But nevertheless, what a player to have to come in when you're closing out on victory. And she showed in that cameo appearance like what she has got to offer.
Yeah, she certainly did. Matt, we saw the last time Limerick went up to the junior ranks in the football championship, and they were quite unlucky to go down that year. They had some good performances, just came out the wrong side of a few close games and a few things didn't go their way. This time, as they return to the junior ranks, looking ahead to next season, I suppose, what does John Ryan need to do, and what will he be trying to, you know, sit down and plan in the off-season for this team? There is plenty of potential in them, and there is more in them. And you know, I'm not saying they're going to win an intermediate championship, but they can certainly hold their own on it next year.
They can hold their own, but the first thing they will have to do is that they will have to they'll have to get out of Division 4. That is the first thing in the league, and that is going to be the first challenge for John Ryan. And it isn't going to be here, Raphael, because the fixtures for 2019, and I'm not crystal ball gazing or anything like that, are going to be the reverse of this year's fixtures, and that will entail trips to Antrim, trips to Fermanagh, trip to Derry. So it's not going to be easy. Louth will be in there as well. They will have the same ambition, and of course they will be gunning to stop Limerick at this stage. I suppose it's a coincidence that Limerick have won the junior title twice, in 2010 and 2018, and on both occasions they have defeated Louth in the final. But I think the first focus for John Ryan and his management team will be to get out of Division 4.
Yeah, certainly will, Matt. I hope now that they're enjoying the celebrations. There'll be plenty of time to be worrying about Division 4 next year and the ups and downs.
Well, there was a good, a wonderful homecoming in the Woodlands House Hotel, who have been great supporters of all things Limerick, I suppose. On Sunday night, and then there was the club homecoming in Ballylanders on Monday evening. And of course, I suppose it's only right to mention, Raphael, that this is another big weekend for Limerick ladies football, in that the 3 county finals are on Friday evening in Mount Collins at 7:30. It's an All West junior final between Old Mill and Father Casey's. And then on Saturday at 1 p.m. in Croke, Ballylanders, seeking 4 in a row, will take on Monaghan, followed at 3 o'clock by Atay, who in a past existence won 10 senior titles in a row. They will be taking on Nakaney in the intermediate final. Nakaney, who are seeking their first title for a club that was just formed in 2014. So it's another big week for ladies football in Limerick. Big weekend.
I suppose, speaking of ladies football, Matt, just one thing before we go, and that was the record attendance of over 51,000 at the games over the weekend. And of course, you know, we've seen Jackie Cahill get on with the LGFA this year, and he's really breathed life into the organisation and into the championship, and a real good skin to deal with when it comes to the media and promoting the game.
Absolutely, full marks to Jackie. Actually, Croke Park last Sunday was, apart from Limerick winning, was a very, very pleasurable experience. There was a massive sense of occasion about it. And like, I think some months ago he targeted 50,000 for the All-Ireland finals, and by God, he got it. There was a great sense of occasion in Croke Park on Sunday, and I suppose it was the icing on the cake for us that Limerick brought the All-Ireland out of it. And you know, there's something about, you know, when you have your All-Ireland one, it's grand to sit down and watch the others battling it out. But you're right, it has been brought to a new level. But of course, you must accept as well, Raphael, that the standard of football in ladies football is actually gone through the roof. It's a fantastic game. It's the fastest growing game in the country, and like, the more exposure it gets, the more people that will want to see it and will want to be part of it and will want to be part of occasions like this. Like, could the day have like the football that was put on by all six teams? It really, really showcased what a wonderful game the ladies' football is. It's a fantastic game, and certainly the men's game can learn something from it. No doubt at all about that.
Matt, moving on to the Limerick Senior Football Championship, we'll start with Group 1, and I'll just go through the three games. Adair 3-9, Senans 2-11, Ballylanders 1-12, Napiercig 12 points, Drumcolliher 1-12, Monaleen 1-15. All what it means is Adair 10 points go through to a semi-final, Ballylanders 7, Monaleen 5 through to quarterfinals. Then Senans on 5 miss out, Drumcolliher Broadford on 2 survive, and Napiercig on 1 are through to the relegation playoff. Group 2, I'll just summarise that real quickly as well. Oula 3-13, St Patrick's 1-12. Huge win for Oula there in the battle to avoid that relegation playoff. Ballysteen 4-8, Casey's 1-14. That was effectively a knockout game that sees Ballysteen through to a quarterfinal. St Kieran's 1-10, Newcastle West 15 points in the battle of the 100% records up until then. What it means is Newcastle West 10 points, St Kieran's 8. Newcastle West through to semis, St Kieran's to quarters. Ballysteen on 5 into quarters. Casey's on 4 miss out, Oula on 2 avoid the relegation playoff, and St Patrick's will do battle with Napiercig. But going back to Group 1 and the game that we did live commentary here on Sporting Limerick, 3-9 for Adair, 2-11 for St Senans. Senans gave Adair a bit of a fright on Saturday night out in Newcastle West, and there was a period in that game, I think St. Senans conceded 2 goals in about 20 seconds. The second one was calamitous, really, when a poor kick out from the goalkeeper, a rushed kick out from the goalkeeper, really found the Adair full forward and gave him a fairly routine run through on goal for their third goal. Senans did try and claw their way back into it, and ultimately came up short. Anything, they could have had a chance to get the equaliser at the end for a point, but it didn't really, it just didn't materialise. And, you know, had they equalised, they would have been through. But as it happens, despite having a better scoring difference than Monaleen, they are out on the head-to-head. So plenty of drama in Group 1, and you have to feel sorry for St Senans.
Yeah, of course you have to feel very, very sorry for St Senans. It's their first year back up, and they had a very slow start to the campaign. They drew with Ballylanders in the opening round, and then they were beaten by Monaleen inside in Clarina in the second round. And I remember being in and at that game, and it wasn't the greatest game that was ever played. But little did we think that that was the game that would would define whether St Sennans would participate in the knockout stages of the competition or not, because I certainly left Clarina that year or that evening expecting that they were going to be in a battle to survive. But like they came good when the competition resumed, and like they were justifiably on 5 points. And it's just unfortunate because the good work that's been done down there in St Sennans, they had been knocking at the door of the intermediate football for a couple of years before they finally made the breakthrough when they beat Galway in the final last year and went on to contest the Munster final. But it certainly is a very, very difficult and disappointing way to go out of the championship.
It certainly is, and for Adair, Matt, no signs of them slowing down. They've got their 100% record. They're through to a semi-final, and you know, despite not, you know, Adair weren't at their best the last night. There's no getting away from that, but they will improve.
Yeah, they're probably timing their run now since the competition resumed since the All Ireland final, and They've played 5 games. They've won 5 games. You cannot ask any more. You would have to say that they're probably not up to the level that they were up to last year yet. But like they just have 2 games to focus on now: a semi-final, and if they get over that, a final. And certainly, you would expect that their level of performance will probably go up a couple of notches.
It certainly will. Looking on to Ballylanders and the Pearse League, 1-12-12. Ballylanders have had a very, very solid campaign today, finishing on 7 points through to a quarter final. You know, Matt, they had a job to do and they got it done. But for the Pearse League, they will be now looking tentatively towards that relegation playoff with St Patrick's.
Yeah, Ballylanders, I was at that game. Ballylanders got it done in dramatic circumstances. For a long, long period, it looked as if the Pearsic were going to win this one. They were on top. They were on top in most areas of the field. And early in the second half, they had gone 6 points clear. And there were a couple of long gaps in that game in which there were no scores. But for instance, Ballylanders got a point in the 39th minute, which reduced the margin to 5 points. They were 5 points behind, and the next score didn't come until the 50th minute from any side, and it came in the shape of a Ballylanders goal from a penalty, clinically dispatched by Kieran O'Callaghan after Ona Mahoney was fouled going through, and literally within 60 seconds of that, Ballylanders kicked a further 2 points. So the Pearsic were gone in the space of 2 minutes from being 5 points up to being on level terms. And then Ballylanders nudged ahead. And again, we had a big scoring hiatus, I think 6 or 7 minutes, until right on the hour, Kevin Nolan came up and kicked an equaliser for the Pearsic. And that looked to be that it was heading for a stalemate, but Ballylanders, of course, thought otherwise. They went down. Ona Mahoney kicked the point, and Kieran O'Callaghan kicked the point from play and a point from a free to clinch a third victory in a row for Ballylanders. It was a wake up call for Ballylanders. They came into the game on the back of wins over Drumbradford and Monaleen, and like they were firm favourites to get past the Pearsic, but by God, the Pearsic dug in and played some very, very good football, and but that last 10 dramatic 10 minutes, Ballylanders salvaged it and dug out the win. But it has been a wake-up call for Ballylanders going into the quarter-final now with Ballysteen.
going into a quarter final, and I suppose, look, any team that go into the group stages of the championship, all they want to do is get out of the group and then reassess where they are after that. So in that sense, it's very much job done for Ballylanders. You can't plan or predict for who you're playing until the group stages are concluded, so there's no point in doing that. But they got that first box ticked, and now it's onwards to Ballysteen. Drumbradford 112, Monaleen 115. Monaleen getting the win that snuck them, I suppose, in the back door. St. Sennans were like a fella who was waiting to get in the door of the pub, and Monaleen were just like some lad who just breezed on up by and swooped in front of him and left him standing outside the door. They really just pulled the rug from underneath St. Sennans in sneaking in past them.
That's very eloquently described, I think, Raphael. That's exactly what happened. But Monaleen have done this in the past, in terms of qualification, and the net result of it was that Monaleen went on and won the county. So I'm just wondering, could history possibly repeat itself? But look, it was a hugely important game, and of course there was drama, we'll say for 15 minutes at least, while the Pearshick were leading Ballylanders heading into the last 10 minutes, and of course the Twitter and Facebook were very busy keeping Drumbradford and Monaleen up to speed with what was happening, because at that stage, with Drumbradford trailing in Kilmallock, they were actually going into the relegation playoff had Napiershik held out and won. That would have been the upshot of all that. But it didn't happen anyway. Napiershik were beaten, so Drumbradford survived, and they will be reasonably, I think they'll be very happy to have survived, because certainly this year there isn't any doubt about it. Drum are far from the force that we were accustomed to, because they are certainly a team that's very, very much in transition, and they will be delighted to have got another shot and to have secured their senior status for next year.
Yeah, I'd say there'll be a lot of head scratching and planning out a Drum Colour Bradford way over the off season. They will be looking to make sure that this does not happen to them again. I suppose, look, there is a lot of rebuilding to do there, and the fact that they've managed to get a year of championship experience under their belt and avoid that dreaded relegation playoff. If you're looking for silver linings in the clouds, then, you know, that's one thing you could take from it, I suppose, in that they have given lads experience. It has been a difficult campaign, but they're the kind of campaigns that you learn from. You learn more in defeat sometimes than you do in victory.
Yeah, they will go away. They will regroup. They will take. There's no doubt they will take the lessons from this year. The young and the new players that have been blooded during this campaign will have learned, and certainly they should come back in better fettle for the challenges that they will face in 2019.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Matt, moving on to Group 2, we described, I suppose, went through the results there. Oola 3-13, St. Patrick's 1-12. That was a huge win for Oola, and one I didn't see coming.
Neither did I see it coming. And if form was any guideline, even though going into the game they had only 1 point between them, if form was any guideline, certainly you couldn't possibly have seen it coming, because like it had been a horrendous year up to that for Oola. Like they had been well beaten in their four games, and it looked just in the previous round, in the fourth round, that maybe Pats were finally getting it together when they got a draw with Ballysteen. But it certainly was a fantastic result for Oola, and of course it was a winner take all in so far as that the winner was staying up, the loser was going into the relegation playoff. And fair credit to Oola, and from what I'm hearing and from what I'm reading, it was a decisive victory for Oola.
Yeah, it was. You know, and again, that just it was they saved their best to last, so they did, because they did ship some defeats during the season. Matt, this was, for all intents and purposes, a knockout game between Ballysteen and Father Casey's. You know, they say goals win matches, and that was certainly the case here. Ballysteen 4-8, Father Casey's 1-14. Ballysteen, you know, we had mentioned, or you had mentioned the last day, that you felt that some of their performances didn't get the results that they deserved, but you couldn't say that in this case. They got the goals that they needed. Championship football, goals win games, and ultimately that sees them into a quarterfinal with Ballylanders.
It does, it does, and I have been saying with quite a while, even going back to last year, that the one team in the championship I thought did not get the results that their performances deserved was Ballysteen, and on this occasion they certainly got the result, and what a result it was to get, because you're right, it was effectively a knockout game, because had Casey's won or drawn, they would have gone through. But Ballysteen needed to win, and by God, they got it with a barnstorming second half. So full credit to them, and they now face Ballylanders in the quarterfinal. And I know we'll be talking probably about it next week, but that should be a very, very interesting quarterfinal, because Ballylanders will have to pick up on what was a very flat performance for 50 minutes against Na Piarsaigh, while Ballysteen will be coming in gung-ho after the performance that overturned Father Casey's. So that's going to be very interesting, and it's good to see that at last a team whose performances merited more are beginning to get what they deserve. And I thought Father Casey's would win it, but that I wouldn't be surprised if Ballysteen did it, and I'm not really surprised that they did it, but I'm just wondering, when are all the good young players that have come through the ranks in Father Casey's are finally going to make the breakthrough? You must remember Father Casey's are through to the Premier Minor Football Final again this year. They're practically permanent residents of that. But the players, for some reason, don't seem to be coming through, or not making the transition from underage to senior. And I suppose it's one of the great mysteries to me, but it isn't happening. And unfortunately for Father Casey's, they're out for this year.
Yeah, that's it. Done and dusted for the year. Kieran's 1-10, Newcastle West 15 points. I did expect Newcastle West to tip this one, but God, St. Kieran's gave them a fair run for their money.
Not one bit surprised. Not one bit surprised. The dynamic between these sides, because it is such that Kieran's can always put it up to Newcastle West, can always make life difficult for them. And they both came in like on full points, which, you know, really, really set it up. Now Newcastle West had to pull out all the stops to get the victory and get through to the semi final directly. Now Kearns move on and they play Mona Lean. It will be a chance for Kearns to regroup and were they to get a win over Mona Lean, which is anything but a gimme, they possibly would set up a meeting, I think, just with Adair in the semi-final. So that should be interesting. But close game between Newcastle West and Kearns, not one bit surprised. It sets up the West final very nicely now, because they have to meet in the West final yet. So that should be very, very interesting. So, yeah, Newcastle West, I thought they might shade it, and they did, and but St. Kieran's are far from gone away.
Yeah, they're far from gone away. Matt, that, I suppose, rounds up the football championship, turning quickly to the club game, and there is plenty of action this weekend as the Credit Union County Senior Hurling Championship group stages come to conclusion. the top four in Group One are really are cemented. Nothing can change the order, nothing can change the top four. And really, to be honest with you, it's unlikely that anything will even change the top two, bar a huge turnaround and scoring difference in favour of Doon. But anyway, looking at the games at the weekend, Adair Ballybrown, that's pretty much to avoid the drop down to Group Two. Patrick Swell and Pearsig in the doubleheader on the Gaelic grounds at 2 o'clock on a Sunday, and then at 3:45 it's Doon and Kilmallock. But we'll start at the first one, Matt. Adair Ballybrown. Will Adair have enough to stave off Ballybrown's challenge, or do you think Ballybrown will pull out a performance at the final hurdle?
Yeah, I'll respond to that now in a second, Raphael. But what a weekend of hurling for hurling fans! Just think of it—a full final round of the Senior Hurling Championship, a full round six of the Premier Intermediate Championship, a full final round of the Intermediate Hurling Championship, the remaining three quarterfinals in the Junior A Championship, and the four quarterfinals of the Junior B Hurling Championship. So, like, hurling fans in Limerick, they're absolutely spoiled for choice this weekend. What a huge weekend in hurling. And it must be a bit of a logistical nightmare for the county board, arranging venues, arranging referees. And I suppose it's a product and of something that we're all very happy about, winning the All-Ireland, that the games have been built up, but certainly Limerick will be back on track as far as meeting deadlines are concerned after this weekend. Now, turning to Adair and Ballybrown, Ballybrown will have to produce a performance, the type of which they haven't produced so far in this campaign, if they are to avoid the drop. Now, we were talking before the last round, after Adair had got a very creditable draw with Doon in round three. We were wondering would they drive on from there, but I had the reservation that if there was a wrong game to have to drive on against, or if there was the wrong opposition to meet after a boost like that, it was certainly Napiershik who were just coming off after dropping a point to Kilmallock, and that's the way it transpired. Now, I didn't see the game between Doon and Ballybrown in the last round, but my understanding and what I've read about it was a game that was in the melting pot right up till Pat Ryan got a late goal for Doon, and but I have a sense that this one will probably go down to the wire, and I suppose Adair will have in the back of their minds that performance of Ballybrown's in the county semi-final in 2016, which many of us will never forget. It was an absolutely outstanding performance by Ballybrown when they came in as outsiders, you'll recall, against Adair, and they ticked all the boxes on that day and beat Adair comfortably, beat him by 7 points and qualified for the county final. Adair will be very, very mindful of that, I'm sure, and I have a sense that Adair will just edge it to survive.
Yeah, they did kind of ambush Adair on that occasion, all right. But you, like you said, you would imagine that there'll be no surprises for Adair this time out. And yeah, I do agree with you. I just think Adair might have that bit too much for them. Moving on to the double header, Patrick Swell and Napiershik, Gaelic grounds, 2 p.m. on Sunday. Patrick Swell, indifferent. 2 wins out of 4, 4 points. They're in fourth place in Group One. Adair can't catch them, obviously Ballybrown can't, but I suppose it's a chance for Adair to generate it's a chance for Patrick Swell to generate some momentum.
It is, albeit it's against an Pearsig side who look to be determined to go the direct route, which is the semi-final, because the competition and the remaining part of the competition is so condensed over the next 4 weeks. It's very hard to pigeonhole Patrick's well at the moment. Like, they were irresistible the first day against the Dare. As we've seen now, that Adair weren't what we expected that they were, and they're struggling. Then they lost in the second round to Doon, and certainly I saw both of those games, and I would have to say that Doon were worthy winners on the second occasion. I saw Patrick Swell in the third round against Ballybrown. They were comfortable winners. But it must be alarming for Patrick Swell, whilst they still had a chance of making it to the semi-final when they squared up to Kilmallock in the last round, how easily Kilmallock turned them over. Now, all right, you know, they're through to the quarter-final. They're safely through. And I think certainly Gary Kirby and his backroom team, they will be looking for a performance here, the quarterfinal going forward, which you would have to say will probably be against either South Liberties or Mooru Bóthair, although probably Mona Lean may have a say on that. But you know, to get a moral boosting booster, I think, again, like as I said about Adair the last time, Napiercy got the wrong team to be looking for it from, because, like, I still think that Napiercy haven't hit top gear, and that I think that they will want to start the build up of the momentum, and that they will, I think they will be driving on their victory the last day, and they will be saying to themselves at this point, we've just three games to retain our title, and I think that the real drive on will start here, and I think Napiercy should look poised to win this one.
Yeah, they do. Matt, moving on to the other one, game in that round, Doon and Kilmallock. It would take a huge swing in points to see Doon leapfrog them into that second place, but you know, I just think Kilmallock will have too much for them. Graham Mulcahy is absolutely flying it at the moment, and if Kilmallock keep going on the curve that they're on, then I don't think that Doon will compete with them.
I agree with you on that, but there's one very simple permutation here. If Napiercig win and Doon beat Kilmallock, it's Doon go through to the semi-final on the head-to-head, which makes it very interesting because they'll both end on 7 points.
Okay.
Now, were Napiercig to lose and Doon beat Kilmallock, you're right, it would take a massive turnaround on points difference, because Napiercig are plus 35 at the moment, Kilmallock are plus 32, and Doon are plus 1. So to take a massive turnaround, but when the Piercy to win, and by the time that Kilmallock and Doon throws in, we will know that. Were Doon to beat Kilmallock, they would go through to the semi-final on the head-to-head. But looking at the game, I suppose Kilmallock have, you know, they're on 7 points. The only point they dropped was to Napiercig. Like Napiercig, I don't think that they have hit top form really yet. Graham Mulcahy, as I said, is an absolutely sparkling form. And like we said this before, and at the risk of being repetitive, like in the opening two rounds of the Limerick Championship this year against Adair and Ballybrown, Graham Mulcahy was in irresistible form. And so, like, and he just brought that form into the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland Series with Limerick, and now he has picked it up again. The type of form that he's showing is absolutely inspirational. Now, we talked about it in the last couple of weeks. We talked about the return of the two Robbies, Robbie Handley, Robbie Egan. Now, Robbie Egan did not start the game against Patrick Swell. I think you had an interview with John Bruder where he said that he was he's easing him back after his 2-year absence, and but certainly they are a huge boost. I think Kilmallock will take the direct route. I think they will probably get over Doon, but you know, a real challenge for Doon, and I don't write Doon out of any script yet. Any script that's been put potential champions. Like they have a very, very good side, and if they click, you know, they're a match for anyone. But I have a sense that Kilmallock will also want to take the direct route, and I feel that they will get over Doon, but this could be one hell of a battle now.
Moving on to Group 2, Matt, there is some big games, and this one really will give you a headache trying to figure out the permutations. Liberties 6, Brubor 6, Monaleen 5, Ahan 4, Knockany 2, Capamore 1. Monaleen and Ahan, Capamore at 1 p.m. These are all 1 p.m. games on Sunday. Monaleen and Ahan, Monaleen need to win to have any chance. Ahan need to win to have any chance. They're really trying to catch Maru Bohar on top. Maru Bohar taking on Knockany, I think they should win that. It's hard to see, you know, South Liberties are taking on Capamore, so the two top teams are taking on the two weakest teams. You could end up having Monaleen and Ahan being irrelevant.
You could have it's simple here. If South Liberties and Maru Bohar win, they are through to the quarterfinals, and South Liberties are promoted to Group 1 for next year on the head-to-head. They beat Maru Bohar by a point in the first round. Anything other than a win for Monaleen, and they are out, and anything other than a win and hope that one of the two above them will lose. Other than that, unfortunately for them, that their season is at an end. Monaleen and Ahan, they're all but mathematically out of the championship. They're depending on a win and depending on South Liberties and Maru Bohar losing, in which case they might just creep into the top two. But it's most unlikely. So it would look that Monaleen will probably pick up the win and see really where it takes them. Maru Bohar, I honestly think they'll finish the job against Knockany. A lot of the pressure is off Knockany now that they've got a win over Capamore in the last round. But they're still not safe. They're still depending on South Liberties beating Capamore. I think South Liberties will beat Capamore. I think Monaleen will beat Ahan. And I think Maru Bohar will beat Knockany.
Just before we go, Matt, it would be remiss of me not to mention the fact that we are doing the doubleheader from the Gaelic Browns, our first doubleheader on Sporting Limerick. Delighted, of course, to announce it, and the fact that yourself, John Keogh, on commentary, will be joined by the illustrious Kieran Carey. Really looking forward to having Kieran in the commentary box with us for Sunday's doubleheader.
Yeah, really, really, really looking forward to it. Looking forward to being involved in bringing it to the people and or to the viewers now, I suppose. And let's hope that we will get two games that will showcase all that is good at the moment in Limerick hurling.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, it's great that we can do these games. You know, if you look at the games spread across Sporting Limerick, Air Sports and TG Cahir, the Limerick Hurling Championship is getting great coverage.
Absolutely fantastic. And it's fantastic that there is a facility like Sporting Limerick in Limerick to bring it to people that wouldn't otherwise see it. And it's just tremendous.